All right. Well, you know, I texted Rod when I was down here yesterday morning. Rod Thompson's a missionary we support at the Calvary Chapel over in Italy, and he's right in the epicenter of all the things that are going on over there. And I wanted to read you what Rod said just real quick. I sent him a thing from C.S. Lewis. He said, "Thanks, Todd." He said, "The Lord hasn't left his throne, and I know whom I've believed, and he is able to take care of everything I've committed to his care, that me and my family will be taken care of. We love you, brother." And, you know, within minutes, I mean like 30 seconds back and forth to Italy, it's amazing the gift of technology if it's used right. And then I said, "Amen. Let us know if you need us to send you anything from here other than prayer." And he said, "How about some toilet paper?" So Rod still has his sense of humor over in Italy, but he's right in the place in Italy where there's a real issue with this virus that's going around. But thankfully, he and the Bible College students are there safe, and he just covets our prayers right now. So I reminded him something he told me years ago, but it's just, you know, a merry heart does good like a medicine, and I hope for you in the midst of all the things that we're going through today, you still can have the joy of the Lord in your life and have that. And share it with people that there is hope in Christ, and we don't have to go into this dark hole that the world is going into right now, that Jesus is high and lifted up, and people will be drawn to him during this time. So, you know, yesterday, about Thursday, I knew the Lord was changing the message around. We started the Gospel of Mark, if you were here last week, but today we're going to go a little different direction. But I'm not much of a Facebook poster guy, but I feel the Lord gave me something. If you saw it this morning, I'll repeat it for those who maybe didn't, but I felt like this needed to be said, and I quote, "There is a virus we're all born with called sin. It has a 100% mortality rate. However, there is a vaccine that has a 100% cure. It is the blood of Jesus. Believe on him and be saved, cured, forgiven, cleansed, and assured of heaven." And so aren't you glad God has provided for our greatest issue in life right now, and that is our sin that has a 100% cure rate as we trust in Jesus Christ. And so in this current situation, I would say that God has our attention, and I pray that we hear his voice as we look to his word today. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can gather today, and we can pull apart from everything we're hearing in and from the world, and we can hear from you. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us ears to hear what your Spirit and what you are saying to the church today, Lord. So I thank you for each one that's here, each heart that's here. Thank you for those that are watching at home online today, that you would be with those that are sick or just concerned about health issues, that you would bless them and draw near to them. But Father, we just pray we would hear from you this morning as we look to you, as we look to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us how to live and deal with many of the things we face in this life, one of which is worry and anxiety. And no doubt, you know, and you yourself, I'm sure, as Bruce mentioned earlier, are dealing to some degree with anxiety or fear, worry, based on everything we've seen this week. And God is bringing a lot of people to himself right now. A lot of people's ears are open. Their hearts are tender. They're ready. Lord, what do you have? And one thing that we do know is God's love for his people and the lost has not changed. God loves this world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish. And no matter what changes in the world around us, God's love is a constant. It's something we know. And so hang on to that. If you have your Bible, let's look to Matthew chapter 6 and 25 through 34. This is our main text for this morning. I really felt the Lord direct me exactly right to here. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. If you're familiar with this, it's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people. And Matthew, verse 6, right in the, jumping in the middle of his message, Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. And Jesus is preaching, and he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" And then he said in verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now in verse 30, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, or those who don't know God or believe in God, the Gentiles seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, the last verse of the chapter, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. As we look at this passage, in verse 25, when Jesus is talking, he said, I say to you, the I there, I, Jesus, the I there is the I am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He says, don't worry about your life. I don't know if you've ever been in front of a king or a noble of that stature. Obviously, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if the great I am, the King of Kings, says, hey, don't worry about your life, probably good to listen to what he's saying. Don't worry about your life. And so the question comes up, what is your life? In James 4:14 on the screen, we have a couple cross references. James is telling us about this very issue as far as life. He says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Isn't that true? And then he asks the same question, what is your life? And he answers it. He said, it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Our physical life, as you know, is a temporal thing. 60, 70 years, and if by reason of strength you get an extra 10 years, you know, it's still a trial as you get older. And your life is temporal, and Jesus said, don't worry about it. Do not worry about what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And if this were being written today, he would probably say, don't worry about toilet paper. I don't know why so many are worried about that. But he asked a question, and he said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And that's worth thinking about, isn't it? Especially in a time like this. Isn't life more than that? For some people, that's all life is. It's what I consume and what I wear. That's my life. The outward appearance of things and how I can feed my flesh, that's all my life is for many people. And so what is God saying? What is he doing? What is he wanting you and I to hear right now, this day in 2020? No doubt the situation we face around the world is different than just the basic needs of daily life that Jesus was likely addressing here. But what might God be saying to the church in this recent crisis that you and I are in because we're in this world? First, no, it's not a crisis to God. He has not fallen off his throne. And isn't that comforting to know that our sovereign God is still sovereign and he's still God and he's right where he's always been? This is not a crisis for him. But also there, as you know, are a lot of voices today speaking to the issue. As you know, and for some of us, we're listening to those voices more than perhaps we're listening to God. And right now, our ears need to be attuned to the Lord more than to the world. If you follow Dave Ramsey, he's a Christian financial expert of sorts that many people, maybe some of you have been through his course. It's a good one. But he made a post this week when this crisis began to unfold and a lot of people were selling off their retirement accounts because of the stock market situation and all that. And Dave Ramsey said this in his post. He said, there's two times in life when people make bad decisions. He said, one of those times is when we're drunk. I think some of you could relate to that. All of us maybe at one point. But he said, we don't make good decisions when we're drunk. But he said, the other time we don't make good decisions is when we are panicked. And we don't make good decisions when we're panicked. And so he said, in light of the situation, he said, the panic, anxiety, and fear that many of us are consumed with right now is directly related to the amount of news that you're listening to from the world. And I said amen to that. And while we need to know what's going on, he's not saying don't be aware of what's going on. But if all you're doing is listening to the news and the voices of the world, you're going to find your anxiety meter pegged out right now. I mean, all I got to do is open Facebook now and my blood pressure goes, you know, my heart starts to race and I'm like, turn it off, you know. And you find your anxiety meter just there. And so Dave Ramsey said, what you need to do is turn off the news and open your Bible. And I thought that's some of the best advice I heard this week. Not that you don't listen to the news at all. Yes, be aware of what's going on. But start reading your Bible. See what God might have to say right now, because a lot of people are speaking to the issue. And you're here today, I believe, because you want to hear God. Amen? You want to hear God. What does God have to say about what's going on? I think one thing the Lord is saying, at least to me and to the church, is you need to wake up, because we are living too much like the world. Remember, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not of this world. You're immersed in it. You're part of what's going on, but you're in the world, but you're not of it. And so for the believer, life is so much more than food and clothing. It's trust in a relationship with the one who said in John 14:6 on the screen, when the disciples were wanting to know, Lord, how do we get to heaven? How do we get to where you're going? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the life. It is a trust in relationship with the one who exposed the enemy's agenda in John 10:10 on the screen. Jesus gave us the enemy's agenda, and then he gave us his mission statement. Jesus said, the thief, the enemy, does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But he said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. When Jesus said, I came to give you life and life abundantly, or some versions say life to the full, he said that to people, as you know, who were physically alive. They were living and breathing beings, and they had the basic things of the world, but they were spiritually dead, had no relationship with God. And he said, the reason I came, the reason I showed up, is to give you life and life to the full. He said, I came to raise your view of what life is, life beyond the things of this world, to the one who loves you, your Father who gives you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Look to him. Now, Jesus, I think, for one, gave that statement to us so you don't have to live in panic and fear today like those who don't know God, that your Father loves you. And Jesus went on in his sermon, as we read there in verse 26, he said, look at the birds of the air. I don't know if you're a bird watcher, but I kind of like to watch them, except when they leave things on your car. But, you know, Jesus said, look at the birds. They don't sow and reap. They don't work and labor for their food. They don't do all the laboring that man does to get his food. They don't hoard and store it up in barns, as you've seen that happen this week. If you try to go to the grocery store, people are just consuming everything in sight and storing it up. And Jesus said, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He feeds the birds. And sometimes he does it through dummies like me who go to the store and buy bird feed and hang it in a tree out back. But he does feed the birds. I've never seen a bird worry. Never seen one on a psychologist's couch with his feet up. Do you know, in the midst of all of the stuff that's going on in the world right now, the first day of spring is this Thursday? It's coming up, spring, this Thursday. And what might do some of you good is to do what Jesus actually said and look at the birds. He said that for a reason. Look at them. Study them. Watch them. Observe and watch, and maybe get your Bible and a good cup of coffee or whatever you like to drink, and hang some bird seed out back and spend some time with your Father in the midst of everything that's going on. I'm not saying this thing we're facing right now is going away. The truth is, I do not know. As Bruce mentioned, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus said you don't know, so I assume we don't. I know it will go away when it's accomplished the purpose God has for it. I know that. And I don't even know what will happen tomorrow. None of us saw this coming a few months ago, did we? None of us saw it. One of the things the Lord has said to me as far as the reason for all of this that we're looking at today is refining. Refining. Jesus could be coming soon. And he wants his bride, the church, to be cleaned up and ready for that day, doesn't he? He wants us ready for his return. We're in so many ways way too much like the world. We, as his kids, are playing around sometimes with stuff, immersed in, wrapped up in things that are hurting our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is saying, refining, let's get those things out of the way. We're rushing here and there and perhaps worried, so he wants our attention. He wants to speak. He wants to release us from things that overwhelm us perhaps at times, things we think might be bringing life and they really only lead to death. And I'm telling you the truth right now, as I was preparing, going over this yesterday morning, I'm in here going over it, and right at this point, I'm looking at my computer and editing and updating things. You know how you get those email pop-ups on your, you know, new email? Right at this exact moment when I'm talking about things that get in the way and hurt our relationship with God, Right at that point, I get an email flash about the Harbor Freight parking lot sale. I'm like, are you kidding? And I thought, what a sense of humor God has, because I like Harbor Freight parking lot sales, and man, all of a sudden, I'm okay, back to what's important. Which of you, Jesus said, by worrying can add a cubit to your stature? If you worry and are anxious over things, can you increase your height at all? Can you grow? And I think we know the truth is worry will not grow you. It's actually going to shrink you. Anxiety will diminish who you are meant to be. And when you get your eyes off the Lord and onto whatever is causing you to worry, that thing becomes bigger, doesn't it? And God gets smaller. And if all you listen to is the news of this world, all of a sudden this crisis before us is going to get so big and God's going to get so small, you need to turn that off and get back in His Word and let God be God in your life. Let Him be big. Let Him be who He is. Do not worry about all the things this world worries about: food, clothing, shelter. Why? Because your Father knows. Your Father knows. And that has not changed because He does not change. In verse 28, Jesus continued. He said, consider, if you're not a bird watcher, look at the lilies of the field. Now, you remember the super bloom last year that we had? Freeway turned into a parking lot up here and nobody could go anywhere, and just a beautiful, beautiful thing that happened. But what happened when summer came? It's gone. The beauty and wonder of those lilies, or those poppies that attracted the attention of so many, were here for a season and they're gone. I hope a few of them pop up this spring again. I don't know what happened. But where did those flowers get their beauty? God gave it to them. God created them. And even to the point that, as Jesus said, that Solomon, one of the most wealthy men in history, in all of his glory, and that was a lot on the human level, he could shop wherever he wanted, wear whatever he wanted. He had custom-made clothing, I'm sure, of the finest linen in the world. But even Solomon, in all of his glory, Jesus said, wasn't clothed like one of those little lilies of the field. The beauty did not compare. The lilies of the field, Jesus tells us, didn't toil and spin for their beauty. God gave that to those flowers. And yet it was here and it was gone. And Jesus used that as an illustration. And so in verse 30, he again brings the truth home of God's awareness and care for you this morning in 2020 and March the 15th. Is that the right date? It is March the 15th. And Jesus said, will He, your Father, not much more clothe you, take care of you, O you of little faith? So don't worry about all the things this world worries about. Don't revert to that kind of behavior. I would propose to you this morning, you probably don't need more food in your pantry right now, but you need more faith. You need more faith. Be smart, yes, be prepared, but do not worry. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? The unbelievers seek after all those things, and yet guess what? Your Father knows you need them. Your Father knows that you need them. So what do we do, Lord? What do we seek after? Where do we focus our attention? Verse 33, the kingdom of God. Why don't you focus on that? Why don't you seek first the kingdom of God that's coming to this world, the kingdom that endures forever? There will be no COVID-19. Or any other virus or cancer or sickness or illness or death in that kingdom. The kingdom of God, of which Jesus is king, a king that gave His life for you. I don't know a kingdom I'd rather be a part of, do you, than a king who rules over a kingdom who says, you know what, I love you so much, I'm going to die in your place. So do not worry. Get your eyes, your attention, your heart set on Him. This sermon of Jesus, no doubt the greatest sermon that ever has been or ever will be preached. The truth of it endures forever, and it will change our life if we believe and obey it. So remember that worry and anxiety and fear is still best combated today, not with the most recent newscast, but with the Word of God. Any fear, anxiety, and I thank God that we have a president who's got some great people around him, and they're doing what they can, and the National Day of Prayer today, as you know, to pray about this issue. But how much we need to hear from God and hear what His Word says. When Jesus was tempted by the enemy to turn from His obedience to His Father, Jesus came back, you remember, in the story. I think we looked at it last week. When Satan tempted Him on three different occasions, all three times in response to the temptation, Jesus came back and with the Word of God and said, it is written. It is written. And if Jesus fought Him that way, it'd probably be a good idea for you and I to follow that example, don't you think? What is written? What has my Father said? This whole thing going on right now is not a flesh and blood deal, is it? And when you and I are confronted by the enemy, as it seems the whole world is right now, focused on a virus that seemingly came out of nowhere and the world has been sent into a tailspin, how should we respond and react? Have you seen, I'm sure you have, how some people are responding? Again, if you went to the grocery store this week or you tried to go, you've seen it. What does God have to say? I think, Bruce, you got in my notes, because David Rosales said this in a meeting that he and I were both at this week, and he quoted Chuck Smith, who said, in times of trial, don't trade what you know for what you don't know. Don't trade what you know for what you don't know. There are a lot of things we don't know right now. Isn't that true? Jesus said, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. You may listen to the news. We have some great people, as I mentioned, working on the challenge. And I would encourage you to pray for our president and the leadership of our country today, as he's realized our need of God. Thank God we have a president that says, you know what, we need to pray. And Vice President Pence was kind of made fun of the other day for praying with his leadership. Thank God we have those kind of leaders in our country today. And God has put some good people around him. But the truth is, nobody knows 100% for sure in a situation like this what the days before us hold, I would say, except God, your Father. And so, when you have a lot of unknowns in front of you, as Jesus indicated, you don't know what tomorrow holds. At times like that and this, don't trade knowns for unknowns. It's a bad trade. So what do we know? Three things. Bruce mentioned one of them, that God loves you. You know that this morning. I hope you know it, that God loves you. On the screen in Romans 8, Paul spoke to this issue and all the things that potentially could separate us from that. But he addressed the issue in Romans 8, 35 through 39. We'll break it up here a little bit. Beginning in verse 35, Paul said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? It's a question. And then he goes on to say, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then verse 38 and 39, Paul closes up his thought here and he said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, all the spiritual forces, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That pretty much sums it up, don't you think? Things unseen, things you're going through right now, nor things to come tomorrow will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves me, this I know. So rest there. Number two, what else do we know? If you're a believer, he's with me, and as his child, he's never going to leave me. I don't know if any of you have ever had an experience in life where you've been separated from a person who was charged with your care, but in this situation, as a believer, he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. In Hebrews 13, 5 on the screen, the writer gives us this admonition. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Isn't that good for this time? Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you leave that up there just for a second, the first part of that verse, let your conduct be without covetousness. Wanting something someone else has so bad that you're willing to take it from them at potential harm. I never thought I would covet toilet paper until I was in Sam's Club this week. I went in early thinking, I'll get some toilet paper. And I see people with it in their basket, and they're making their way around the store. I'm going, great, they got toilet paper. We thankfully have some. But as I saw people with it in their basket, I get to the back where it all is, and it's gone. So I'm there getting a couple other things that we needed. And there's a guy that has a couple in his cart, and his back's turned to me, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just like, will anyone notice? And I didn't, but I kind of coveted that bundle of toilet paper. I never thought I would covet toilet paper, but there it is. But be content with such things as you have, and why is it? God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I am with you, my child, and I'll take care of you. So I know God loves me, I know he's with me, and he's never going to leave me. One last thing I'd submit, and there's more than this, but this is number three. What do I know is he's not given me a spirit of fear, amen? As the world is trying to incite fear in so many people's lives, God didn't give me that. Wait a minute. Young Timothy was a leader in the church as a young man, and he was a bit fearful to use his spiritual gifts, and Paul told him this in 2 Timothy 1:7. He said, Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That is the spirit that God has given you today. Amen? If you're his child, you don't have to fear and be anxious like the world. Yes, they are, as that song from the Disney movie, Joseph, Dreamcoat, or whatever it is, but even though there's much to fear, we're not afraid. I'm not saying there's not things to fear, but as God's child, you need not fear. God has not given a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Casting Crowns has a song out, and it says, O my soul, you are not alone. There is a day where fear must face the God that you know. I love that line. This virus has brought back to us reminder the reality of physical death, hasn't it? I think that's why many people are in such a panic. It's like, I could die. Perhaps the greatest fear of man is physical death. And I'll say this, you may or may not die from this virus. I would venture to say most of you will not. My prayer is none of you will. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying I don't die from it. But this is what I do know. You will one day die. And I will one day die. And that's not something we like to think about, but it's true. And that is not the question. The question is, where will you spend eternity when you do die? Where will you spend it? And knowing where you will spend it, how does that affect the way you live today? Because believers that have an assurance of heaven, I can assure you they act much differently from those who have no idea where I'm going. You know, Paul, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the question is, as that line of that song says, there is a day where fear must face the God you know. Do you know God? So that when fear comes knocking, you let him answer the door for you. Fear must face the God that you know. Do you know him? Well, I can say this. Jesus makes you an offer. It's a covenant that's signed with his blood. And the covenant simply says, trust in me and believe on me. That I died on the cross and paid in full the penalty that was due for your sin. That I was buried and after 3 days I rose again. I live today. I extend the offer in my hand to you. His question is, will you take it if you never have? Will you take my hand? Will you trust me? Will you accept the offer? If you say yes, you will know a peace unlike anything this world has to offer. You can't get it anywhere in this world, especially right now. But Jesus offers it to us, and he tells us in John 14:27, this is a great verse as we move to close in a minute. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. You know, we're never going to have another opportunity like this. We're never going to have another opportunity like the one we have right now. Let's not miss it to get right with God ourselves and share the hope of Jesus with those who don't have that hope. We may not have this chance again. I don't know what will happen tomorrow. Bethel Music has a song out, and it says this, and I quote verse 2 of the song, says, oh, fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. Fear is a tyrant. He's always telling me to run. But oh, love is a resurrection, and love is a trumpet sound. Love is my weapon. I'm going to take my giants down. And the chorus of that song says, you, God, Jesus, you walked out of the grave, I'm walking to. You walked out of the grave. You know, do you know you're walking to a grave, a physical grave? I'm walking to a physical grave, but guess what? Our Savior already walked out of that for us. And if you identify with him and trust him, you're already out of that grave. There is a day, let today be that day, when any fear that you have faces the God that you know. Amen? Let today be that day that you know God by trusting Jesus and walking in a relationship with him. When fear comes knocking, and no doubt it has, and it will continue to come knocking at your door, perhaps this week, maybe this afternoon, let God answer it. You guys ever on the couch on Sunday watching your favorite sports game, and you got the remote and a cold drink, and someone knocks at your door, you say, honey, can you get the door or let one of the kids get it? I don't know if that's the best illustration, but when fear comes knocking, let your father answer the door, because he can address the issue at the door better than you and I can. When fear comes knocking, let him answer the door. And so That way, you and I can be used by the Lord to help those whom God is calling to himself who don't have that hope right now in Jesus. You know, as I close, sometimes I have 3 points, and like, here's three. To be honest, I don't have a conclusion other than to say that your Father has spoken to you. Your Father has spoken to you today, and he loves you. You ever talk to your kids and they don't respond? Did you hear me? You know, huh? Yeah. If you ever talk to anybody and they don't respond, it's kind of a rude thing. It's like, until right, did you hear what I said? And God says his word goes forth and it hits that for which he sends it. And so I know there's no doubt God has spoken to you, that he loves you. And I just would encourage you to respond to him today. Whether there at your seat, maybe you've already responded. Your heart's already said, okay, Lord, this is what I need to do. Or maybe as we close here in a song and offer prayer over here in the corner, if you want someone to pray with you, we'd love for you to come and pray with you, whatever the issue might be. But I would just encourage you, don't hear God speak to you today and not respond to what he said. Let him talk to you. Let him do what he wants to do. So let's close in prayer, and Joe will lead us in a song, and Joey's going to wait on us for the offering. But I encourage you to respond to the voice of your Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you today that Lord, we need not fear, not because we have it in ourselves, but because of who you are. That Jesus, you already walked out of the grave that every one of us is headed towards, and because of your death and resurrection on our behalf, we know, Lord, that death has been defeated, the grave has been overcome, and you've given us a living hope today through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so, Father, I would pray in this current situation that we're all facing collectively in this world right now, Lord, I pray that your church would awaken and rise up to this moment. I pray for anybody here who's been gripped and overcome by fear this week, that today they would trade that fear for faith and yield their life and trust fully in you and who you are. Father, I would pray if there's anybody not saved today that really doesn't know you yet, they don't have an answer when fear comes. I pray that today would be the day they would come to Christ and trust him fully, so that when fear comes knocking at the door, Lord, you answer it for them. And fear faces a God that they know because they've trusted in Jesus Christ. So Lord, whatever the need, I pray that you would lift the anxiety and the worry and the darkness and replace it with faith and hope and love, Lord, and just help us walk as your kids into this week before us. As we close this morning, Lord, help us to respond to you in a manner that's worthy of who you are, in song and giving and prayer, however it is, Lord. Just have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, and if you would like one of us to pray with you, Bruce, myself, or Mark now, anybody, you know, over here in this corner, we'd love to pray with you. God bless you as we close.